Did you ever have a question pop into your head that never got an answer? Did you want to learn more about something trivial but never got around to it? Well, I have. A lot. During the past few months, I wrote down these questions, no matter how odd or seemingly unanswerable they may be. I saved them so I could take one day each week for the entire year of 2016 to finally get some answers. So here we go with an attempt to learn something new in this episode of I Have Questions. Welcome to I Have Questions. I am Matt, and this is episode 5 for January the 29th, 2016. And this question is, what did Apollo 9 do? Now, this question came up on my last visit to Kennedy Space Center when a friend pretty much asked me that question. And to my slight embarrassment, I had no idea. I fancy myself a space fan, and I can tell you what the big ones did. I mean, Apollo 11 is the mission that put Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon. Apollo 8 was the mission that got to the moon and back for the first time. Those are two incredibly huge moments in space exploration. But what about the two missions in between? What did they do? Specifically, for this episode, what did Apollo 9 do? I don't know. I'm about to find out. And if you don't know, hopefully you're about to learn as well. Hopefully I present this well enough and paint a good enough picture to answer this question. To start things off here, Apollo 9 was launched just 2 months after the Apollo 8 crew returned to Earth. 2 months and 6 days, to be exact. It launched on March 3rd, 1969. The crew for Apollo 9 were astronauts Jim McDivitt, Dave Scott, and Rusty Schwackert. Now, for what the mission of Apollo 9 was all about. In a one-sentence description, this was the first full test of the entire Apollo spacecraft. Apollo 8 proved that the rocket, the Saturn V, could get to the moon and back. The command and service module proved that astronauts could travel through space and return back to Earth safely. But Apollo 9 was about to prove that they could take everything they needed with them to get onto the surface of the moon and extract it from the Saturn V fully intact and functioning. And that last thing they needed that completed the entire Apollo spacecraft was the lunar module. Apollo 9 launched and headed into orbit, but unlike Apollo 8, Apollo 9 didn't head all the way to the moon. This entire mission's work was done while orbiting the Earth. Once in orbit, the crew launched a command module. The first step was to turn the command module completely around to face the third stage of the Saturn V rocket. This was the section that the lunar module was sitting and waiting. Now, once it was lined up, the command module had to make a painfully delicate approach to hard dock or connect the front of the command module to the lunar module. Once that connection was made, it now had to extract the lunar module from the third stage section of the Saturn rocket. Now, I've seen this done in film footage and, well, mainly in movies, to be honest, and I had always assumed that it was done with the thrust of the command module itself. Well, I was kind of happily surprised to learn I was wrong. From inside the command module, the crew activated a spring system that would eject the lunar module, command module connected configuration, pushing it away and out of the stage 3 housing. Now, once this ejection was successful, the Saturn V Stage 3 itself is what fired and pushed itself away from the lunar module and command module. This is pretty much the opposite of how I thought this worked. I always assumed that once that connection was made and everything was extracted from the rocket, that the lunar and command module just kind of took over, flew around, and did whatever it needed to do. Well, again, I was wrong. The rocket itself pushed itself away, made everything clear and safe for the lunar module and command module to now continue the work it was about to do. Now, for the rest of this day, this is still launch day, and into the second day, the lunar module command module configuration was kept together and the engines and maneuvering thrusters were thoroughly tested. On the third day of the mission, the crew cleared the tunnel between the two modules and tested the transfer protocol or steps, whatever you want to call it, for the astronauts to move from the command module into the lunar module. Throughout the rest of that day, all systems in the lunar module are tested, retested, tested again. That lunar module was put through its paces, and rightfully so, because pretty soon, in two more missions, that thing was going to be landing on the moon. Once all systems passed, Jim McDivitt took controls of the lunar module and tested the full throttle range of the lunar module engines, and everything passed with flying colors. Now, after this, things kind of start to get fun. On day four, Rusty Swaggart donned a new suit and went outside for a bit of a stroll. This was the first test of the PLSS, the Portable Life Support System. This is what the astronauts were going to be wearing as they walked on the surface of the moon. He wasn't out there for long, because soon Dave Scott suited up and joined him outside the module. And of course, to maximize the time and to squeeze every penny out of the tight budget NASA had while they were out there, they were put to work, and they had to take thermal samples from the exterior of the modules while they were testing out these suits. Now, after this obviously important test came possibly the biggest test, at least for the Apollo spacecraft. It was time to separate the two vehicles. The two vehicles separated, with Dave Scott in the command module and Jim McDivitt and Rusty Swaggart in the lunar module. Once the two modules were 100 miles apart in space, the ascent stage of the lunar module separated from the lunar landing module and headed back to the command module. These two units met back up and docked pretty much without a hitch, which is pretty incredible to think of, considering this is the first time this had ever been done in orbit of the Earth. At this point, McDivitt and Swaggart returned to the command module, and the engines on the ascent stage of the lunar module were fired and pushed that piece of the lunar module away from the command module. The crew of Apollo 9 stayed in orbit for another 5 days before finally splashing down on March 13, 1969. With this incredibly successful and incredibly important mission completed, there was just one more mission between Apollo 9 and putting a man on the moon with Apollo 11. But that's for another episode, and there will be another episode, so stay tuned. So that is that answer, and so far, this is the most fun I have had researching for this series. I'm a huge space fan, but mostly from things that happened in my lifetime. I've kind of neglected the details in history. I mean, I know about Apollo 8, Apollo 11, of course, Apollo 13, but there's all the missions in between. I'm glad I'm catching up on them now. This was a lot of fun. And if you have any interest in space and didn't know all these details, I hope some of it was interesting for you as well. That is it for this episode. I'm just going to wrap up. I actually had to kind of cut my notes short because I continued to read on what further missions this crew was on. And that's really not, I'm trying to stay focused on the answering the question at hand in each episode. So I cut myself short, but man, did I have a lot of fun doing this. So as always, you can see everything that we're doing on Facebook. Look for NeoZazz Podcast on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Website has everything, of course, including a contact page that you can reach us and send us any message you like. Of course, all this and all our shows on NeoZazz are on iTunes, and we appreciate any review you give us, particularly the 5-star reviews, of course. And again, I'll just say, as I say in every episode, thank you for spending a little bit of your week with me. We'll do it again in the next episode, and I will see you then. I Have Questions as part of the NeoZazz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit our website at NeoZazz.com. I Have Questions and all the podcast series from NeoZazz are funded by the generosity of our fantastic Patreon supporters. To learn how you can help support all the work we do at NeoZazz and access exclusive supporter content, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/NeoZazz. For all the latest from I Have Questions at NeoZazz.com, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NeoZazz Podcast or our Twitter account at NeoZazz. Thanks for listening.